Often when we think of ageism, it's in relation to seniors and issues like retirement and driving. But what about the other end of the spectrum, the increasing number of housing developments that are adults only, no children allowed? Whatever happened to the young and old finding themselves living and working together, one generation learning from the other? Our Nino, Not Young, Not Old columnist Star Weiss has been talking to one group that is successfully dealing with these intergenerational issues. And Star Weiss joins us in studio. Hello, Star.
Hello, Joanne.
So how often are we seeing this age segregation? I mean, I gave a couple of examples, but is it really common?
Well, and things have changed since the way they used to be, sadly, but I've thought a lot about it. We tend to age segregate in so many situations. For example, when was the last time you were at an event when all the generations were represented and encouraged to interact with each other? These days, even some wedding invitations ask you not to bring your children. And weddings, you know, they were one of the last strongholds of intergenerational intermingling. Some people also argue against bringing children to funerals, which I personally think is a lost opportunity. Death is a part of life, and children, along with the rest of us, need to learn not to fear that passage. It's one we'll all take one day.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it seems outside of our own homes, there's a disconnect between generations so often. Now, as I said in the beginning, you're going to tell us about one group that is trying to connect the generations rather than segregate them.
Absolutely. It's called Eye to Eye, and that's the small letter I, then the number 2, then the small letter I again, Intergenerational Society. And the idea is they help Generation C, Eye to Eye. It's really the brainchild of a multi-talented teacher and activist named Sharon McKenzie, who spent her whole life, as she puts it, doing intergenerational projects with all cultures and age groups. Sharon says Eye to Eye is simply the result of her seeing over and over again how successful intergenerational activities can be.
So what sorts of activities and projects are we talking about here?
Well, it's interesting. These IG learning projects, as they've been dubbed, can be very small activities like encouraging school kids to visit a senior center to perform a play or play games with the residents, to very large projects like the Meadows School project that Sharon set up in the Coldstream Meadows Retirement Center. That's an assisted living facility in Vernon in 2001. The Meadows School project was one of the flagship projects of Eye to Eye, and it was an example of what Sharon calls intergenerational immersion. And in that case, school kids were actually brought to the senior center for 5 weeks each fall and then 3 weeks again each spring and had all their classes there. And Sharon says the regular school curriculum actually adapts very well to this environment. And the kids were expected to do 90 minutes of service in the facility each week, things like setting the table. And the other part of the program was that having the school children in the facility tended to result in actually better health for the seniors living there. So it was a win-win, as they say. Now, there's actually a Meadows School Project 2 underway in Williams Lake, where they've replicated Sharon's methods, and they're calling it Too Cool for School.
What sort of after effects has the Meadows program had on its participants? Do you know? I mean, you mentioned better health.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I talked to a university student who was part of the original Meadows class and to an elder who was also part of the Meadows program. And really, it's clear how huge an impact that program has had on their lives. Sam Nolan was only 10 or 11 years old, a grade 6 student, when he was part of the test run group that was the first class of the Meadows Project at the retirement home. They started slowly, he says, baking pies with the seniors and doing some gardening, crafts, even putting on plays, anything that would connect us, Sam says. He loved the interactions with the seniors so much that he went back later to do volunteer work, and as he got older, he continued volunteering with seniors. Why? He says the friendships he made were so enriching, very untraditional, and he became really close to some of the people he met. And he also realized as he was growing up that he liked the care side of working with seniors. So actually now he's studying pharmacy at UBC, partly because he knows it's a field where he'll be dealing with lots of seniors. And he is the president of the Eye to Eye Intergenerational Society Board at the tender age of 20.
Boy, it did have an effect on him. This program obviously worked for Sam. So what about the older folk that he great that we're part of it.
Right. And, well, as I said, I also interviewed John Cochran. He's an elder who was involved with the original Meadows Project as a resident of the facility, and he's now 95 years old, and John's talent is with music. So he began leading the kids, and we're talking now 11 and 12-year-old pre-adolescents, in old-fashioned sing-alongs. John plays banjo and keyboard, and he says he got the kids singing along to such old favorites as Day Is Done. He was involved with Scouts for years, by the way. And other oldies he mentioned were Little Sir Echo, How Do You Do, which my mother used to sing.
And yeah, mine too.
And he had the kids doing the echoes, and Found a Peanut, who doesn't love that song, with the kids doing all the actions. John had recently lost his wife to cancer, and he claims that his experience with the program did him more good than it did anybody else. But I actually have my doubts about that. It sounds to me like it was a pretty even swap. John said at the beginning of the Meadows Project, the kids and the seniors were very shy of each other, not quite sure what to expect. But by the end of the program, they were loving each other. He used to see the kids arriving by school bus from the window of his room, and he loved just watching them get off, chattering away, the way kids do, as they came into the building. And now, perhaps, it's not surprising to learn that John is also a member of the Eye to Eye board.
So he and Sam still get to see each other.
That's right.
So the Eye to Eye group does a lot of fun activities. Do they ever tackle any serious issues as well?
Absolutely. Actually, the biggest serious topic that the students have taken on is elder abuse. Sharon oversees a large group of teens who are actively working to raise the issue of elder abuse in communities, and they do things like they put stickers on about, you know, on coffee mugs and says World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is coming. And by the way, it is June 15th. And they put those in bags in grocery stores. And this is working both to prevent the elder abuse and to get the generations more aware of the issues that they each face. And by the way, speaking of dates, June 1st is Intergenerational Day.
I bet you didn't know. No, I didn't.
So that's a day to remind yourself to hold the door for someone or give someone of a different generation a flower or sit down and talk. And there's lots more suggestions at the Eye to Eye website, along with a whole toolkit if you want to set up projects and a listing of intergenerational projects across Canada. Eye to Eye posts these projects from all over for anyone to see.
Especially with our aging population, something you and I talk about a lot, it strikes me that intergenerational glasses, if you will, are something we should maybe all try putting on a bit more often.
Yes, and people like the actor Ed Asner and our own CBC, Sheila Rogers, have already touted the benefits of Eye to Eye. And as their board president, Sam, the 20-year-old, told me, a lot of people have no idea what they can gain by making a friend from a different era, and I think he's right.
I think he is too, Star. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.